Good morning, church. Awesome. Hey, we're going to get stuck into the word. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are here with us today. God, that you are moving in us. Holy Spirit, speak to us, change us. God, we thank you that you are growing us in relationship with you. God, we pray that there is a deepening of our relationship with you today. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Hey, I wanted to tell a couple of stories, very quick ones, about a couple of friends that I've got. Now, I've got a friend who likes to make chili. Now, this friend has ditched church today because I think he's afraid Jono's going to get him in a headlock and force him to go to man camp. If you know who I'm talking about, that's Paul. I've also got a friend who likes to make honey. And that's Ken. I've also got a friend who likes to grow muscle. A friend who likes to build Lego. A friend who likes to switch hobbies annually, but always loves a bargain. Hey? Always loves a bargain. That's the only hobby that stays with him. See, who your friend is determines your relationship with them. It determines how you engage with them. My muscle building friend, we go to the gym. My hobby switching friend, we go running, camping, motorcycle riding, cook barbecue, eat at barbecue restaurants, whatever current hobby is going on, send each other bargains, Facebook Marketplace, you know, whatever that is. Jono. I did not buy a RAV4. I told you that's after America. Who likes a two-door RAV4 in a manual? It's such a cool car. Anyway, he likes a two-door RAV4 in a manual. Oh, that's a great car. Hopefully very cheap too. Awesome. See, who your friend is, it changes how you engage with them, right? If you've got someone that loves basketball, you start chatting about basketball. If you've got someone that has a hobby, a passion that they love, it kind of facilitates that relationship. But how close your friend is determines the impact that they have on you. Eventually, you pick up their language, their mannerisms, and maybe even their hobbies. If you Reese has this, I'm going to just name and shame from the platform, and I hope this is okay because I didn't ask. Reese has a very weird inflection on the word no. It's okay. I've picked it up too, and now I'm doing it, and I catch myself doing it all the time. You can pick up their passions, and their passions become our passions. If you hang around with someone long enough, you will buy a motorcycle together, you will buy barbecues, you will buy running shoes, you will buy a Garmin watch and be a part of their multi-level marketing scheme. Maybe even grow a beard. You might even grow a beard. See, who God is determines our relationship with him. And some of us, we think of God in only one of the character traits that he's got, in one of the ways that we engage with him. But God, he shows us all throughout Scripture so many different things about who he is so that we can engage with him on different levels. See, God's so much more complicated than one relationship. Some of us just think of him as King of all kings, Lord of all lords, and that's great. But maybe if that's the only way we think about him, we don't approach with that same love that he has for us as friend. Today, I want to talk about just a few aspects. This isn't all of them, but just a few aspects that maybe you're so sold out for one of these aspects, it's like the only way you're working with God. And maybe there's other ones that need to be revealed to you today in that relationship that you have with God. And so today's miracle is the miracle of relationship. The first one is God the Father as Lord and King. See, there's so many Psalms and so many stories about God being the omnipotent, the all-powerful God. He is all-powerful with all authority over all things. He is so, so wonderful, seated on the throne of heaven, the power to do all things by his word, the power to create the earth by the words that come out of his mouth. Wow, how awesome that we get to be in relationship with the King of all kings. Last week, I heard a story that I couldn't believe was true. And I couldn't believe it was true, so I went and told everybody that it was true. So I believe it is. No. Paul told me that in Nigeria, he grew up in and went to primary school with Hakeem Olajuwon. Now, Hakeem Olajuwon, if you don't know, is an amazingly great basketball player. Top 11 of all time on the NBA 75 list. And Paul did not make it up. Paul did not make it up. He went to school with Hakeem Olajuwon. Wow. I don't know why Paul's not out here telling everyone about that. That's so cool, right? If you had a friend that was like king or, you know, super important, you'd be telling everybody. You'd be out here being so excited about it. How much more so that when you know that you're friends, that you are in relationship with the King of all kings. See, sometimes we can forget that who we're talking to is the creator of heaven and earth. And so if this is not the way that you're used to engaging with God, maybe you're forgetting and missing out on the power that he has available to us. But if this is your only way of engaging with God, then maybe your relationship isn't as close as it could be. Maybe you're always thinking about, he's the authority over my life, and so I'm going to get in trouble every time I sin. He's also dad and father. By his own design, he created us to be in relationship with him. Closer than a father. It's this amazing juxtaposition of king and authority and dad. A father figure to help us and lead us. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. How amazing that we get to be children of God. It's this amazing adoption into sonship that he's not just the authority figure. Yes, he is an amazing authority figure with all power on heaven and earth, but he also wants to be close to us and be like a father and lead us and grow us. We then have a part of the relationship that comes from Jesus and is shown in Jesus, which is friend. In John chapter 15, verse 13 through 15, it'll be on the screen for you. It says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you." Wow. We get to be in this friendship, closer than a brother, friendship with Jesus, with God, with the Holy Spirit. We get to engage in this relationship as a friend. See, we've got King, we've got Lord, he is all authority. He's also Father because, hey, we're going to submit to that authority. He's so much better than us. But he's also our friend. It means we approach him with that confidence of being a friend. Now, maybe if this is the only way that you've ever engaged with in relationship with God, you might forget who you're talking to. You might miss the reverence. You might miss that when he speaks his word, where to follow. But if you miss this, then maybe your relationship isn't as close as it could be. Today, I want you to be able to have a revelation that leads you deeper into relationship with God. There is no barrier between us when we're friends. Freely coming into his presence and being a part of his plan. Wow. Who am I that Jesus would call me friend? I'm nobody. I'm nobody. But God loved me. And God loves you. Another great way that we engage in relationship with Jesus is as an example. He is the example of a perfect, sinless life and how we can live ours. We can be people empowered by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit to carry out His mission and He shows us in Scripture and leads us through how we should live in family, in ministry, in the good times, in the bad, in our career, in being parents. He's the best friend with no influence towards any bad decision. I've got a friend who likes to switch hobbies. Some of those hobbies are dangerous, like motorcycle riding. He's an influence only towards your best outcome and God's best outcome. See, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." See, Jesus understands you as friend, but also gives you this amazing example of how to lead your life. He's the best kind of peer pressure. Amen. The third part of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. And there's a few ways that we engage with the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to pick out two here. The first one is helper. In John chapter 14, verse 15 to 26, it's a little bit long, but this is Jesus speaking. It says, "If you love me, keep my commands." And it's the verses that followed the friend verses. "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And I will leave you, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas asked, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me and obeys my teaching, my Father will love them and they will come and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I've spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." So the Holy Spirit comes as the perfect help. Now that's not help in that the Holy Spirit serves us. No, by no means. He is still King of all kings. We serve him. But he gives us the help and the empowerment to overcome sin in our lives, but also to outwork his plan, to feed the hungry, to help the needy. See, we can't do that on our own strength, because if we do it on our own strength and without the Holy Spirit's empowerment, we're doing our work and not God's work. He's living inside of us, empowering us to live according to his perfect will with his eternal perspective. He's blessing others through the gifts that he enacts via us, which in turn is a blessing to us. He's more than capable to do all of these things without us. God can do all things. We said he is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He speaks and the earth melts. He doesn't need us, but he still chooses to work with us and work through us. Wow. How amazing that we get to have the help and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The other way that the Holy Spirit engages with us is as leader. He leads us to a deeper relationship with Him. He empowers the removal of our fleshly desires, filling us with the will and the power to enact righteousness. Constantly moving us from where we are, which is God's work in us, constantly removing the bad and moving us closer to Christ-likeness. Romans 8, verse 1 to 6 says, therefore, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. That in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Amen. He leads us. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. He's not leading us to anything bad. He's leading us towards glory, towards a better relationship with Him. And the closer we are, the bigger impact He has. It's like this amazing, perpetual motion machine that is just always leading us to greater relationship with God, moving us from glory to glory. Another way that all three of these, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, engages with us is the Creator and Purpose Giver. His purpose ever exceeds our own. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. God's purpose for our lives is so much greater than anything that we could have done ourselves. And we will be more fulfilled following God than we ever would following our own desires, our own flesh. And so He gives us purpose. The world is seeing this now. There's studies coming out of how people that follow God have a greater sense of purpose in their life than those who don't. Now, surely that's not rocket science. If you tell somebody that they come from nothing and they're going to nothing and their purpose is nothing, then they're going to feel like they've got no purpose. It's not rocket science, right? But God gives us an amazing purpose. Not just a general purpose to be ambassadors and ministers to the world, but also a specific purpose for each one of us. A specific purpose that is God birthing in you something that He wants to lead you towards, that we get to be a part of the tapestry of His plan. See, how close we are to Him determines the impact He has on us. If we're distant from God, He's not going to have much impact on our lives. But if we're chasing Him and we're in relationship with Him, He's going to have a greater impact every single day. He's going to move us into more and more revelation and a deepening of that relationship. So today, I've got 3 points to leave you with before we finish up. The 3 R's. It took me a long time to get the third one, to find a synonym that started with R. And anyway. The first one is the miracle of relationship is that Jesus reconciles us. If you don't know God, that's okay. If you don't know Christ, that's okay. We are reconciled to him through faith in him. And so today you're going to have an opportunity to get to know him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. All this from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to him in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he was committed, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, by nothing that we could do, only by the sacrifice that Jesus made, was it possible for us to move from being away in relationship to God to being in relationship with God. It is Jesus that reconciles. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but save the world through him. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they've not believed in the name of the one and only son." See, if you're distant from God, maybe you've been close to God before, and maybe you've never had that opportunity, and you've never chosen to get close to God, reconciliation is one faith step away. Choose to come back to Jesus and faith in him, and he will reconcile us. The second R, so first R is reconciliation. Second R is that he restores. He restores not only the relationship for mankind, like it said in that verse, but also for you personally. And maybe your story is a little like mankind's. You stuffed up, you went to God, then you stuffed up again, and you moved away from God, and you came back, and you moved away from God, and you came back, and again and again and again. He is the only one who restores. I'm not going to read out the verse, but John 17 through 20 through 26 is Jesus praying to God that there would be a unity and a restoration for all mankind and for each and every believer. The last one is that he remodels. That was a really hard one to get the synonym for. He remodels. Through the Holy Spirit's empowerment, he transforms us and gives us purpose. He creates in us a greater love and a greater life than we ever thought was possible. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 30, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God knew, he also predestined. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." See, the Holy Spirit moves us, shifts us and changes us and remodels our whole life if we let him. If we're close, and if we let him, he will continuously reconcile, restore, and remodel our lives into more and more Christ-likeness. And the closer that we get, the more we're impacted by all of God who is, by all of who God is. Father, friend, king, example, helper, leader. See, today it might be easy to resonate with just one of those. But God didn't show us just one picture for our relationship to be one-dimensional with him. God wants to totally remodel your whole life. He wants to be king and Lord and friend and helper and leader and father. He wants to impact all of us. So how do we get closer? How do we build this faith? How do we build this relationship? I said earlier, the more time you hang around someone, the more you pick up their mannerisms, the more you pick up their stuff and their passions and their time. There's two ways that we get closer to God. The first one is time. Prayer, worship, reading our Bible, spending time with God. Now, our relationship isn't measured in how much time, because that's not the only factor. It's also openness. How much of your life is actually surrendered to God? Would you be open and let him have all of you, not just some of you? Would you let him speak into every aspect of your life, not just some? Would you let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you towards what God wants to remodel? What he wants to transform in you? See, when we're reading the Bible, God just, he shows us stuff and it jumps out at us. Verses that you might not have thought were relevant to you, but the Holy Spirit guides you and goes, bang, I want to deal with that. I want to grow you in that. When we're praying, God speaks to us and says, hey, we're going to deal with this. I've got you here. When we're worshiping and we surrender all of our heart, God is who he needs to be in that moment. King, father, friend, helper. So would you take 2 minutes now to spend a little time with God and let him do what he wants to do. But I want to encourage you. Take this week. Don't let just Sunday pass by and go to the next Sunday. Get into a closer relationship. Let this be the relationship that impacts you more than any other. Today, there's some people that God's wanting to do something, whether it's reconcile you back, whether it's restore you, whether it's remodel your life. There's some people that God really wants to do something. And if you're feeling like, hey, that's me, I want to pray this through, then I want to open up the altar and say, hey, come, we're going to pray for you. We'll keep playing a little bit. If you're feeling led, feel free to come to the front. Otherwise, we're going to finish up the service here and we'd love for you to hang around and have a coffee and get to know somebody. Tell them how God has renovated your life, remodeled your life, changed you. Share the goodness of God. Amen. Amen.